Welcome to Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton. And coming up in the trash, we're going to be speaking with Christopher Evans. We're going to talk a lot about what happened with the WWE over the past weekend, with TakeOver Toronto and SummerSlam both being very successful shows. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about All Elite and some of the lessons they can learn from what's going on with WWE television right now. And also, as part of today's podcast, we'll have some interviews, including our very first interview with a woman performer, and we'll talk about what's going on at Devotion Championship Wrestling, and we actually have a tag team joining us that doesn't break kayfabe. It's really a great show today, and we thank you so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. Before we start the show, we want to acknowledge the death of Eddie Marlin. Eddie Marlin, not a big name as far as the rest of the country goes, but in the Mid-South and in the South itself, he was a giant. Eddie Marlin, a promoter, a wrestler, tag team champion, and more. And he also was very connected with the professional wrestling world. He was the father-in-law of professional wrestler Jerry Jarrett, thus the grandfather of Jeff Jarrett. Eddie Marlin passed away from multiple organ failure at the age of 89. We give the 10 bells to Eddie Marlin.
Is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, and we also have Chris on the back. Christopher Evans joining us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. How you doing, Chris?
Beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. That cheeseburger, that hamburger went down, but that sauerkraut and the jalapenos are starting to kick back. So if you hear me belch a couple of times, don't just everybody ignore me.
Sauerkraut and jalapenos on a burger?
Sauerkraut, jalapenos, and chili.
Dude.
I dressed it up.
Do you have a stomach left?
my doctor's really going to love me when I have to go for my physical.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Hey, so. We just had as much as we complain, and I find myself doing it too, about mm-hmm. creative at the WWE level, they've had a really good week. After a very troubling Monday Night Raw going into SummerSlam, they had a good week, and it all kicked off with NXT TakeOver. What a show!
NXT was the best I have ever seen.
It was. I mean, every match from Johnny Gargano's wife, can't remember her name right now, that match she had was incredible. Then the tag team championship match with the Undisputed and the Street Profits, they tore it up. And it was unreal.
I still say the Undisputed Era, they got robbed of those titles.
Uh-huh.
They really did. They really got robbed of those titles. But it was a match that you were on the edge of your seat. You couldn't believe it. It was like, oh my gosh, these guys are so good. Why are you not on the main roster? But please keep them on NXT. Don't send them anywhere else. Leave them right there.
Leave them right there, please, because you bury everyone. when you get on to the main roster. And I'll give you a little example. Today I went into, because I go to work and I'm wearing camouflage pants and I usually wear a t-shirt. Today I grabbed my Ethan Carter III t-shirt. Where in the heck is EC3?
Oh Lord, I don't know.
Buried as soon as he gets called to the big to the main roster. Okay, that's just my little rant for today. But did you see the Johnny Gargano and the Adam Cole 2 out of 3 falls match?
Yes, I did, and I'm gonna watch it again.
That it was that good, wasn't it?
I'm gonna watch it again because that was a barn burner. It was 2 out of 3 falls, but my gosh, these guys, they knew each other so well. It was so, the story in that ring was told so perfectly. So perfectly. I mean, it was a back and forth match. You loved every minute of it. And then when the cage came into it, it's like, okay, now we're gonna see some action.
Wow. And
it was.
And did we ever. We started off with just a regular wrestling match,
yes,
which Johnny Gargano got himself disqualified on purpose. Then it goes into a street fight. Johnny Gargano won the street fight, and now it's tied up at 1. Remember the disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part of the match, and let me just say this, main roster, think about Extreme Rules and how tame that was, and then watch this. You had the cage come down. It had weapons all over it, barbed wire, fire extinguishers, kendo sticks, chairs, and most of the stuff didn't come into play, and I knew that one going to happen. But it was tables, chairs, kendo sticks. It was extreme, and I even heard an ECW chant in there.
I didn't get to hear that. Wow. It was, I mean, once Johnny Gargano,
Johnny Wrestling.
When he grabbed that sledgehammer and he came down, I thought, okay, he's going to pop him and then we're going to have ourselves a new champion. And I was surprised, but we all knew that he's fixing to go to the main roster. I predict he's going to go to 205.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I don't think he'll go to SmackDown. I don't think he'll go to Raw. I think he'll go to 205.
There was also a part in that earlier, in that cage part of the match, the Extreme Rules with weapons everywhere. There was a DDT on a chair right after Gargano got the fire extinguisher in Adam Cole's face.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like, to me, now maybe it's just the angle, camera angle or what, but it looked like they were expecting to have the DDT go onto the seat of the chair. And no, it went on the back, the curved portion right on the top of the chair. That looked nasty. And I was surprised that there wasn't a cut on its head, on Adam Cole's head. It was unreal. It was good.
Yeah. But NXT did it again. They slammed the door in the face of all the of Raw and SmackDown and somewhat of SummerSlam too. Mm-hmm. So NXT is one of the best that the WWE has to offer. But if the rumors are correct, it won't be much longer.
Okay, now you posted this, and I about freaked out in my mind with what happened. What is the latest rumor about NXT?
The latest rumor is that Vince McMahon has decided that he is going to start poking his nose into NXT and starting to write the scripts and, you know, to almost take it over from Triple H. But it doesn't make any sense.
Let's give this a dramatic pause here. So let's just pause to think. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, pause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm still pausing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying my best not to lose it. I hope it's not true.
I feel like I need to be a Kevin Owens right now and say, stop the music. I want to bang my head on this table every time I hear it. I hope it's not right. This is not correct.
Me too.
Why would he do it? It doesn't make any sense. Why does he want to burn this down?
Why?
Sorry, Seth Rollins.
I'm like you. I just got to question the reason why. Because frankly, as far as a weekly television show, and not necessarily weekly, let's just take it to the pay-per-views, okay? Because sometimes the NXT show, when they use some of the lesser talent, it's okay, but it's not great. But you get to that pay-per-view, mama mia, holy bleep, it is dadgum good.
Holy bleep!
Have you ever noticed the TV shows that they put on is always blah, and the pay-per-views are out of this world? I don't understand why they do that. I mean, I know they're saving these guys, but geez.
I wouldn't necessarily say the NXT product of the weekly show is blah. It's just not quite as good. And then the reason why I think the pay-per-view is better is, and I think I've said this before probably a million times, I'm just going to beat a dead horse with a with Vince McMahon's toupee. It is because they have more time to set up their pay-per-views, their main roster stuff, because they just tore it up. And then when you're looking at Monday Night Raw and you're looking at SmackDown. And I was reading something today on the Bleacher Report, and I got to give these guys credit. They do a great job at the Bleacher Report analyzing things. I'm going to paraphrase them because I don't have this right in front of me. They were doing an article that said what All Elite can learn from what's going on with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. And there were two things that I think stood out. Number one was, don't change matches at the last minute unless extenuating circumstances. And their reasoning was that these competitors, the men and women that are putting their careers, their lives, and their livelihood on the line almost every night, are coming in thinking they're going in one direction, then they have to change. Sometimes that does make, and sometimes it's going to happen. Don't think it's not going to happen. So that's going to happen, but don't change the card at the last minute unless extenuating circumstances. And then the other was, don't completely script out every promo. Let the talent get into it a little bit. As Kevin Owens has done recently, his promo work has been incredible, and we found out that he has a little bit of carte blanche. He gets an outline, and he goes with it. And what incredible promos Kevin Owens has done.
I think that's good for Kevin, but, I mean, they let him off the reins a little bit, and that's good. But who gave it? I mean, Vince had to give it the okay to do this, or Shane gave it the okay. It wasn't Eric Bischoff. I mean, it had to be. So they're letting him do his little thing, and that's great because Kevin can cut promos perfectly. I love Kevin Owens' promos.
Me too.
But why can't we get a pro? I mean, why does it have to be promo after promo after promo? I mean, don't get me wrong. Okay. I like Raw. Yeah. I like SmackDown. But do we have to have a promo like every 5 minutes?
And do we have to start the show with 15 minutes of nothing?
Yes.
That's especially Monday Night Raw. But the point,
that's been wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, the point was, I think that this Bleacher Report article did say, was that you don't want to have the promos go forever in the first place, and then they've got to have a point, and that's what these longer segments go with on SmackDown and Raw, when they have these huge long segments of nothing but promo and little bits and gags. No, it doesn't work. And I think that's where creative has lost. They're trying to fill 3 hours of television, live television, every week. And then that's just on Raw. Then you've got 2 hours on SmackDown the next night. It's got to be a nightmare. But if they plan things and don't change things at the last minute, how much easier would their life be if they would just get off their Vince McMahon's? And I think I just called Vince McMahon an ass. But anyway, just get off their Vince McMahon's and and let things smooth out. If it doesn't work that week, change it the next week. go with your plan or you're really going to fail. And they have failed a lot in the past year and a half. They have failed.
Well, that's what happens when you're about to have a TV program that goes on within about maybe 3 or 4 more hours. And then all of a sudden the main man, the main boss, grabs the script and rewrites it within 2 more hours.
Yeah, I don't think that should happen.
We've changed this. We're going to do it this way. Okay, so we all got this together. We're all doing this, and now you just changed this, and now we got to change this game. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating for the talent, too.
Yes, it is. That's why you've got Dolph Ziggler now sitting out for the rest of his contract. He's done. He don't want to do this no more. He's tired of it. Vince won't let him go. He lied to Dolph about it. Now he's just sitting out. But man, you're sitting out. That's fine. But you were just a jobber. That's all you were.
And that was the contract that he signed. His last contract was that he was going to be used to help put other wrestlers over. Mm-hmm. And I think he held up to his end, but he probably just got a little tired of the changes and then trying to do it. So sit out your contract, take that money in, Dolph. You know, say, Mr. McMahon, put that little zero at the end of that. Put a couple of zeros at the end, then sign your name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Get that money, Dolph. And go do your comedy stuff. And if you have to make an appearance occasionally, do it. So that's what I would do.
I don't blame him one bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Now that we have talked about NXT and got a little bit of All Elite in there, there was something that you were telling me about right before we went on the podcast, and it had to do with one Zane Peterson. So, Christopher Evans, I turn it over to you to talk about our co-host and our friend, Zane Peterson. Go for it.
Zane, this is a promo against you, my friend, and don't take this the wrong way. The problem is you think that there's comedy in wrestling. There is no comedy in wrestling, and I'm tired of comedy in wrestling. If I want to see a man grab another man's penis and being flipped over it, I'll go watch porn. I don't want to see this in wrestling. I don't want to see a man. He puts his hands in his pockets, and he kicks a person so gently, and then he gets picked up and rocked to sleep. And then when he puts his finger, his thumb in his mouth, and 1, 2, and he kicks out, and everybody laughs. This is not wrestling. This is BS. I can't stand it anymore. I love what you put on Facebook, but I can't stand seeing another man put their hand on a man's genitalia and act like it is the weapon of mass destruction. No, Jerry the King Lawler said it best. I threw a fireball at him. His balls were on fire. That's what he deserved. Zane, I love you to death, brother, but this guy, Joey Ryan, is nothing but a stain on the world and on professional wrestling. He needs to go bye-bye. I don't like him, and I hope he slides under a gas truck and tastes his own blood. I'm done. Thank you.
His own blood?
Sorry.
That was just a mite bit harsh there, young man.
So sorry.
That was just harsh.
I'll put my nose in the corner later.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to slightly disagree with you.
Go right ahead, please, sir.
Joey Ryan is a talent. I've watched him wrestle traditional wrestling matches for several years. That particular video was done over in Japan, and there's a promotion in Japan that was featured on that wrestling show on Viceland. That's what they do. They do all kinds of weird stuff like that.
I'm not
a fan, but there are people out there who like the comedy aspect of it. The people like Gentleman Jervis, once again, I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the comedy that if it's done right makes me laugh. I mean, some of the stuff DX did, I thought was hilarious. Yeah.
Yes.
So I think there's a role for it, and then there's a place where you and I will agree and then almost disagree. I thought the stuff with Joey Ryan was over the top I didn't like it. Zane thought it was hilarious.
Okay, that's fine that you and Zane. But here's the thing: when older wrestlers like Mick Foley gets Mr. Sacco out and he grabs a hold of the penis, of the genitalia, and then he acts like that his whole arm is fixing to break in half.
Yeah, they did that one too. Yeah, right.
And then Jerry the King Lawler had to do the same thing, but Jerry refused to do this job. He refused. When this happened, Jerry had just had his stroke 4 days that day.
Okay, just a second. So Jerry Lawler is in a match with Joey Ryan.
He was in a match with Joey Ryan. He didn't even know who Joey Ryan was until the guy says, well, he's the one that flips you with his genitalia. And Jerry looked right at him and said, ain't going to be me. And so Joey Ryan dressed up as Andy Kaufman. And then the funny thing is that Jerry said, okay, you want me to grab it? No problem. And all of a sudden you see this big fireball come out and hit him right between the legs. He says, there you go. But I just don't get it. I just don't understand.
Just a little barbecue, huh?
Just a little barbecue right there on Beale Street. No.
So is that a YouTube video?
There's a YouTube video on it. You can see it. What had happened was, see, the pile driver, this is the day of WrestleMania. And this is All Access. And they had a place where you could see all kinds of wrestling. And Joey Ryan was there, dressed up as Andy Kaufman. And all of a sudden, you hear the King's music. And he comes out. And then Joey gets on the mic and says, go ahead, Jerry, touch it. I want you to touch my genitalia. And Jerry just looked at him, looked at the crowd, and he took two steps forward, and there goes the fireball, and hit him with it.
And Jerry knows how to throw a fireball. Just ask a couple of wrestlers.
Yes, he does. He does. But the thing of it, I'm glad that y'all two like him, that you like Joey Ryan, but I just can't stand the look at the man. He looks like a porno star rolled in pubic hair. I just don't like the man. I don't like the way he wrestles. I don't like that spot. And Zane, it's nothing against you, brother. I just can't stand looking at that man.
Joey Ryan, his whole thing is bringing sleaze, bringing back the sleaze. And that is his stick. Joey Ryan, he was actually offered a contract to go to NXT and he turned it down. And can you imagine what McMahon would have done with Joey Ryan? I mean, talking about calming that man down. I mean,
you'd have never seen that spot ever in the WWE. There's no way.
No way. No way.
So
agree with you to a point.
Yes. Okay.
There are people out there that will enjoy Joey Ryan's stick. I don't. You don't. I know that as a professional wrestler doing traditional matches, he can go. I saw him when he was on Lucha Underground. I saw him go. I saw him do lots of things. But, you know, that particular aspect, that's how he's making his money. Me, I don't particularly like it, but others do. And, you know, that's the way of the world, as they say.
Yeah, and other people like to see another him. Who was the female that puked in his tights?
Oh, no.
That was disgusting.
No.
Okay, that is disgusting.
Yeah.
Why the hell would you pay money to watch that? This is not professional wrestling. If I want to see that, I will go to a bar. I will go to
There are plenty of people puking at bars, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I'll even find a way to get a family reunion going back together somehow, and I'll watch a fight that way. Come on.
Yeah.
No, this is not wrestling. This is, someone ate the paste when they were in kindergarten. It's finally dissolved their brain. I just don't get it.
Or as it happened in Tommy Boy, the movie, when they said, did you eat paint chips as a child?
You know, I've never seen that movie. I've never seen Tommy Boy.
Chris. You've got to watch Tommy Boy. Make me a promise.
Okay. I promise you, I will get it on Netflix and I will watch Tommy Boy.
It is hilarious.
Okay.
Well, okay, you had your little rant, and now Dave Denton, will also rant at this time. A little bit of a technical issue occurred right about this point of our taping, and I was going to have a little rant of my own, and I'm going to go ahead and rant right now. And it has to do with the WWE, because in September, Jerry the King Lawler and Jake the Snake Roberts are going to be are attending something called FanX. It's a Comic-Con type event that San Diego Comic-Con's got a hair up their wazoo, and they have actually sued trying to stop the name of Comic-Con for Salt Lake City and Salt Lake City alone. That's a rant of a different story. It's stupidity on San Diego Comic-Con's part, as far as I'm concerned. My rant has to do for several years that I have tried to get an interview with the WWE talent, trying to go through the correct procedure, as it says on their website. I have sent an email several times to the WWE requesting an interview when they have shows coming in to Salt Lake City, or when a wrestler has been appearing in the area that has a WWE Legends contract, which does restrict the type of interviews they can do. Jake the Snake and Jerry the King Lawler, as far as I know, do have that type of contract. So I go through the proper channels, send the email to the person that says on their website to send it to for the request, stating the company I work for and what I would like to do with an interview with one of the WWE superstars. Only one time out of the five times that I have asked for an interview have I ever received any type of response. And that's when I got on the telephone and actually got a gentleman on the phone who was very rude to me at that point. And I have not received anything from my email of earlier this week going through the proper channels, as it says on the WWE website. That is my rant. I would just like to have at least an acknowledgement that says, I'm sorry, Mr. Denton, you cannot have an interview at this time. We will not allow it for various reasons. Blah, blah, blah. Woofity, woof, woof. Kiss my you-know-what. That's all I'm asking for, is for an acknowledgement. If they are so busy with their jobs at the WWE that they cannot at least have someone send an email saying, I'm sorry, we cannot take your request at this time, then they need to hire more people. That's it. That's my rant for the day. Coming up next, I went to a Devotion Championship Wrestling event in Salt Lake City, and I had our very first interview with a female competitor. We also talked to one of the original hosts of Turnbuckle Trash, Tom Sherlock, and we talked to a tag team called the Brothers Smith. The Brothers Smith didn't break kayfabe, I'll tell you that. It's a great little fun little interview.
Is a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude.
But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing why.
A plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a...
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
It's a pleasure on Turnbuckle Trash to have our first female competitor that we've ever interviewed, Reika Tehaka. I get that close?
Yep, you got it.
All right. How long have you been doing this professional wrestling thing?
About 6 months.
Wow. The first time I saw you, and I saw you tonight, you showed some really big improvement.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
I want to ask you, you did an intergender match tonight, and it was a tough one, man. That guy had you turned every which way but loose. How did you get through that?
You know, sometimes you just gotta build up all the strength you have at last minute and just give it the best shot you possibly can. You know, I mean, with the Polynesian strength that I have, you know, I can never give up. So definitely, you know, it was a tough match, but I got through it.
And who was in the ring with you before?
Chase Earl.
Okay, that was awesome. And then right after the intermission, you put on a little dance for everybody, didn't you?
Yep, the haka. Yep, me and my brothers did the haka, and I'm so proud of them. Yeah. Definitely. It's a tough dance, but it just shows where we come from, and it's just traditional, and it's definitely powerful.
Yeah, it really is fun to watch. I wanted to ask you about your athletic background. What have you done in the past, athletic-wise, dance-wise, gymnastic-wise?
I actually played women's football here in Utah. I played for the Blitz football team. Going in there, it was definitely a challenge just because I didn't know anything about football. But that definitely built my strength up and confidence, just, you know. And after football, I decided to look for something else. And, you know, being with a wrestler, Manny Lemons, you know, it's definitely, you know, an adventure just because I get to travel with him and do all these fun stuff with him and, you know, wrestle and see him wrestle. And I just wanted to give wrestling a try, and here I am.
And you've got a great presence in the ring. I'm really impressed with what you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And when are you going to get in the ring with some other women?
Probably next month. Yes, our September show.
Marty Daniels, maybe?
Nope, it's going to be a surprise.
Oh, darn.
Unfortunately not all this time, but.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hi, everyone. Dave Dent, man. We are at Devotion Championship Wrestling, an independent show in Salt Lake City. And I have the Brothers Smith with me. The Brothers Smith are a tag team, and I'm telling you, this tag team would only work in Salt Lake City because you come out, and you got a little bit of church influence about you. Brother Austin.
Oh, I wouldn't say church influence. We just come for the Great Watcher. We come to find the Great Watcher, and we are going to find him tonight.
You are. You're going to find him tonight here. And you guys had a tough tag team now, brother.
Oh, yeah. Those two shenanigan hooligans robbed us. They put that bread down my throat, and it was tastes very nasty.
And after it was on the ground, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was desecrated.
It was very desecrated. And the Great Watcher is here, and he was not happy. And I know he's here.
I think I know who the Great Watcher is.
Tell us.
Which way did he go? We've been looking for him.
Have you seen him?
I have seen him. I have talked to him. The Great Watcher is everywhere. The Great Watcher is everywhere.
I think we felt his presence here.
I felt his presence.
We have to go look for him.
Go look for the Great Watcher.
Brother
Smith, Turnbuckle Trash. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. You're welcome, brother.
Get out there.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Yeah, it's Turnbuckle Trash. You know who I found at the Devotion Championship Wrestling Show? One of the original hosts of Turnbuckle Trash, Mr. Thomas.
That's true.
Thomas Sherlock.
That's true. I'm back. I'm here. I'm here on your show. Now it's your show.
Well,
now it's just your thing.
It's still our show.
It's everyone's show.
It's everyone's.
It's a fan's show from a fan's perspective.
That's true. Hey, Tom, you and I get to see each other a few times a year your work.
We do.
But
through hook and
this,
through.
Professional wrestling, locally, independent. Let's talk about how great indies are.
I got to tell you, indies everywhere are crazy right now. Indies are crazy in the Northeast, they're crazy in the Southeast, and they're crazy in Rocky Mountain Pro, and they're crazy right here with DCW in Salt Lake City. And this is such a great promotion, right? We have so much fun at these shows. We've got guys that come from states all around just to come wrestle here in beautiful Salt Lake City just to entertain us. Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So, Tom, let's talk about some of your favorites here at Devotion. I mean,
sure.
Manny Lemons walked by a few minutes ago. He's been on the podcast with me several times.
Yeah.
And you've got Tombstone Jesus. The Tombstoners have got to be a great fun.
I'm definitely a member of the Tombstoniverse, if you will. And Manny Lemons, huge fan of Tom Chad. Everybody loves the pineapple clad Tom Chad. But, man, you can't sleep on these little guys. I know he's not as popular, but, like, William Cutting, that guy will destroy you in Rekha Tahaka. We saw last show. She means business. She tore my shirt off last show and chopped me right in the chest.
I secretly loved that very, very much. Why'd you watch the video?
I bet you did. It hurt, and it was. I had marks for days, and I learned my lesson. And now, when I am heckling wrestlers, I will be more respectful. So, definitely. But there's so many great, like, homegrown talents here that just Mean Mike. Everybody loves to boo Mean Mike. There's just so much going. I mean, there's so many great people here. We've got a core championship. We got a DCW championship. We got Echo. Oh, the hummingbird, Echo. He is incredible. I saw him wrestle a match with his hands bound together.
Wow.
And he did the whole match that way.
Wow.
Yeah, incredibly talented guy.
I tell you, Tom is the one, when you want to talk indies, Tom is the guy you talk to, man, because he knows the indies.
Because I never shut up. It's what it is. It's not that. I could talk to you about bacon for an hour, and we'd both be going. But, I never shut up. You're right, though. I mean, and indies right now are, like I said, are so huge with promotions like VCW Ultra in Southern California that are doing so well. And there's just so many different places. Now, it's not a question of can we find indie wrestling to watch. It's where do you prefer your indie wrestling? And we're in the internet era, so you can watch all of it because it's all being filmed.
I love championship wrestling from Hollywood.
And from Arizona.
Oh, it's awesome.
And now they're showing it in Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee.
On TV, on actual. Yeah, isn't that great?
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
But are you going to be going to Fan X in Salt Lake? I mean, you know who's coming, isn't it?
I heard some stuff about the Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah.
I heard some stuff about that and the Jake the Snake. Huge fans. And I don't see why I wouldn't. I don't see why you wouldn't, why you would pass up the chance to go tell Jake the Snake how much his career has meant to you, and his even just recent movie of his changing of his life and thing coming into his own. I don't know why you wouldn't want to tell him that. And I got to tell you, it's Jerry Lawler. He's everything, right?
Yeah.
He's everything. In fact, I mean, going from taking photos and making cartoons to being pretty much the biggest guy ever in wrestling history. I mean, and movies and a cross-medium kind of guy. Love it. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Can I tell you a little story here?
Yeah.
Early in my radio career.
By the way, Danny Cage, trainer from the Monster Factory, world famous Monster Factory, just walked right by us.
All right. We're going to be talking to him on the podcast.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Okay. But early in my career, I applied for a job at the same radio station Jerry the King Lawler was working at. I was one of two finalists. I didn't win.
What? Who's the guy that won?
It was a woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd have hired her, too. Just saying. Maybe it was a work. Maybe it was like a dress code thing.
Yeah.
Maybe short wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't. My legs weren't worth that, though.
Whatever. It's fine. Whatever. But, wow. You were almost right there.
I was almost. That's the story of my career.
But you and I have seen Jerry Lawler do what Jerry Lawler does before.
Yeah.
So if there's people listening who haven't seen what Jerry Lawler does, there's so much stuff on the WWE Network. Just make sure you go, older stuff, because he's been around for a long time. Find you something in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Find it. That is the sweet spot for that Memphis wrestling and Jerry the King Lawler.
The Kiss My Foot match with Bret Hart.
Oh, so good. Disgusting foot. Disgusting.
I loved
it. Yep. Not going to spoil that one. Go look up the Kiss My Foot match. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
And Memphis Heat, if you want to see what happened in Memphis wrestling, that documentary is incredible.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Totally accessible, too. Like, you don't need to be, like, way super hardcore into wrestling to understand it, because it talks about the cultural phenomenon that wrestling really just was in that area. And, that's what I'm saying right now with indies, is that you had that in like the Mid-South Coliseum, and things were so huge in the Memphis territories, but now it's like that in many different places. The Midwest has theirs, the Rocky Mountains have theirs, the Northeast have theirs. There's wrestling everywhere, Dave.
It's a great time to be a fan, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, I get goosebumps just thinking about it.
You and I can talk wrestling all the time, right?
Yeah, especially on SummerSlam weekend. Yeah.
That's right. I can't hardly wait, man.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm sure for the people who are listening to this now, I'm sure they had fun watching it.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you're welcome anytime on the podcast.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, definitely. It's a great show.
It's great to see you, man.
Good people. You too.
Thank you, man.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
You hear me belch a couple of times.
Chris on the mat coming in 3, 2, and 1. That was a good countdown there, man. I'm gonna have to use that for the blooper reel, okay?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Just get off there.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's.
It is the weapon of mass destruction.
I could talk to you about bacon for an hour. And
it was desecrated.
It was very desecrated. And the Great Watcher is here, and he was not happy.
That's what happens when you have a 3-burger with jalapenos and sauerkraut.
I'm definitely a member of the Tombstoneverse.
This is not wrestling. This is BS.
It's going to be a surprise.
She means business. She tore my shirt off last show and shot me right in the chest.
We have to go look for him.
He looks like a porno star rolled in pubic hair. Why did he want to burn this thing?
Why?
I'm sorry, Seth Rollins.
What a show.
Woo. That was some good stuff. I'm done. Thank you.